You want me?
You always start.
I don't know. Welcome to Sex
and the Sex
in the Sex. This is a Sex and the City podcast. My name's Anna Wolf, and I've seen all the episodes of Sex and the City.
My name's Evie Majumdar, and I have seen every episode at least 6 times.
My name's Jordan, and I'm watching it for the first time now. And we have a special guest. It's Michael Hing.
Hey, friends. Hey. What a joy to be here on Australia's most illustrious Sex and the City podcast. a true dream for me, a fan of podcasts.
I think it's the world first HBO rewatch podcast as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No one's thought of this before. No. So.
Yeah. But the great thing about you guys is that you've sort of, where everyone else is doing current HBO shows, you've made the creative decision to do one from, 20 years ago that's aged quite poorly.
Yeah. Fun is.
And we have consistency on our side as well. Like every week we put out an episode.
Every single week our followers, they know us for our consistency.
Yep. Never taken a break. That's my understanding.
Never taken a break.
We're like pretty much the hardest working people in comedy.
What we love to do is take months off and then come back and not say anything about it.
Yeah.
It's like another episode.
No, it's always, we're back. Every post that we have on our Instagram for our 500 followers is like, hey, we're back.
That's the charm of it.
I think they like it.
Michael Hing, what is your relationship with Sex and the City?
Gosh, I didn't know there'd be any questions. I haven't watched a lot of it. I've seen bits and pieces. I think when I was maybe in high school or something, maybe it sprung up, maybe something like that. And then I...
Do you just remember tits? Like, I feel like...
Well, I remember it's slightly more insidious than that.
Oh, gosh. What is that?
I remember like... people I liked being into it, like girls I liked would be into it. And so I remember watching a couple of episodes being like, I'll be able to talk to them about this. And then like watching one episode being like, I don't get this at all.
You're like immediately friend-zoned because you're
Carrie and that girl, you idiot.
You're supposed to hate us. Put in effort.
Anyway, never worked, obviously. I haven't watched a lot of it. I watched maybe like the first couple of episodes here and there and then caught the odd one. But, and then I think in uni, I think I had to study it at one point class. I think it was a text in some class.
I want to do that
Lucky
course.
You.
We should teach it.
Cunnilingus. No, I don't know. I don't know. It was like, it was probably like English literature or something. And there was like a text we did for it or something. I don't know.
Oh, that's cool.
But yeah, like with all university texts, I didn't actually read it or whatever, like watch it. But I'm aware. Samantha, Carrie. Charlotte, Miranda.
Well done. That's pretty
beautiful.
Good.
Steve as well.
Mm-hmm. Steve.
It'll be good to get your perspective as like, because we've watched it so much apart from Jordan, just like outsider's perspective on how cooked or good this episode is.
Oh.
I think you should watch the full series. I think I know it's a problematic show, but in saying that, It's still
comedy
watchable.
Should it's edge. It's very funny.
Comedy should edge. No, but I'd be interested.
Age or edge?
Age.
You said edge.
Oh, sorry. I meant edge. Comedy should edge.
Edge.
You should never be fully loving but close to.
Is this a funny idea? Edge Sheeran? What is that?
We'll work on it. We'll
I thought of watching it, I thought it was very funny that this is the episode that we got you to watch. Because I was like, it was so, like, in terms of like all the characters, it was very peak Samantha and very.
Oh my God. And sorry, I just remember what we're doing. This is a train episode.
Yeah. I genuinely laughed a lot during this episode.
I love this episode.
It was like really funny scenes.
It was great.
It's psycho, though.
It's psycho.
It's psycho.
It's full on behavior.
So I watched this in the Uber on the way here.
Yeah.
I imagine as the director intended.
Yeah.
So is that the context is that, sorry, how does this podcast work? I feel a bit lost in this. Do you
No, we all are lost.
Oh, yeah, we're going to interrupt this.
I don't want to get in before the introduction. If there's business to be done.
Absolutely.
You're right.
And
thank you for being here.
Thank you, producer.
This is what we need.
Thanks for that prompt for our normal structure.
Yeah.
I've got the synopsis from IMDb here by our favorite contributor to the pod, KGF Vizzes, who just writes synopsis on IMDb. and it says, since Samantha is bored with the city enough to rename it Same York, Carrie invites her along to a book signing, a long train journey to San Francisco. Alas, it's less of the Oriental Express than the New York sub tiny deluxe quarters and men who are faithful to their wives.
I hate the way he writes, or she, or they. I hate the way.
It could be any of them.
It could be any of them.
We just don't know.
We don't know. That's the scariest thing.
And that's it. You never know.
The way they write summaries, it just, I can't.
No.
Oh, it's my fucking phone. I keep doing this. Anyway, go on. Yeah.
Charlotte and her lawyer, who dropped off the last divorce papers at her hard-kept place, which, which she now considers selling, end up having sex in his apartment in Frisco. Carrie is mortified. Frisco?
What does that mean?
Oh, San Francisco.
Is that a thing?
Maybe it's not a thing.
In Frisco, Carrie is mortified to be the opening act for a canine TV puppet, but finally finds a sex partner, Mr. Big, who came to hear about his character in her book. That's it. Thank you, KGF.
Thanks again for that.
Jesus. What a beautiful man. I think this episode was very funny. It was just like, especially the train stuff, and it made me kind of like, when I think about it too much, it made me kind of sad because I was like, such beautiful friendship chemistry between Carrie and Samantha. But do you know that they hate each other?
I
do you know about the Kim Cattrall situation?
Well, isn't that why she wasn't invited to be in the fourth movie or whatever?
Yeah,
she was
invited, but she said no.
But then she,
depending on who you listen to.
Yeah, exactly. Because she said that she wasn't invited.
Yeah.
Right?
She's pretty much like, they were begging me for it, but I just have had enough, and like, Carrie's a bitch and stuff.
Fuck, jeez.
Yeah.
She got the Carrie.
Character names. I think this episode, because for someone who hadn't watched sort of five seasons and six episodes before this, I think I'd seen some of these characters before, but didn't know them. Mr. Big obviously is the big love of Carrie's life, and then the bald man. I think he becomes quite a significant character later on, doesn't he?
Well, I thought he was just a like, casual hook, and I was like, this guy is so fucking charming. What a waste that he's just going to be another bedfellow.
Oh, yeah.
I said this last episode, but there's something about Harry.
He's really good.
I reckon as a child, if I watched it, I would have been like, well, yuck. And now I'm like, nah, he's good. He would take you to nice places to eat.
Yeah.
And he would have a home and a job.
Oh,
and he wants to fuck.
This is the woman who's been mistreated.
He's also, I love the shot of him. I genuinely just love when he's like leaning over. So he comes and like delivers the divorce papers, and they have like a close up, and his face is just like,
sweaty.
But I think the most important thing is that he wants to fuck Charlotte because Charlotte's been with David Lynch guy who was in Twin Peaks, Trey.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Trey. She was married to Trey. He had erectile dysfunction and just wouldn't fuck her because he viewed her as the Madonna. Not the whore kind of thing. Mm.
That's, you always got to view your girlfriend as the whore.
The whore.
That's my understanding.
That's what she
Make
wants.
Make them crawl around, you know?
Exactly. But
don't
then
isolate that out of context.
No, we will. We absolutely will.
We're like
we
a mashup snippet.
We need sound bites. Yeah. But then, then seeing Harry want to fuck Charlotte so bad because Charlotte is
so
fucking
sexy,
hot.
Yeah.
And in such like a vulnerable way. Mm. Like not in like a macho way. In like a, hey, I want to fuck you. I want to fuck you so bad, Charlotte. Please.
Beautiful. Yeah. It's like your lips. I think it's such a visceral, like in a way that she's like, oh my God, I haven't felt so wanted for so long.
Yeah. And she's wearing glasses.
Yeah.
I know. Like, she's like, Harry.
I know. It's so beautifully theatrical and camp in this bit. I don't know. I just want to see Charlotte get plowed. I think maybe that's just like it. I just want to see in her little fucking glasses.
You're annoyed that they change scenes.
Yeah. I was like, what the fuck? At this point, I was completely naked in bed.
Yeah.
I was also completely naked in the Uber on the way here.
I know.
Just watching it.
Seeing like, oh.
Being vulnerable.
It was funny. Him taking her to that little like sex palace.
I didn't understand. Why did he take her to the sex palace? So the hard fought, the hard one. So she's divorcing this character Trey, they're fighting over their current apartment or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, so he's not the divorce lawyer. But Bunny, his mum, is. Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Because she's like, hates Charlotte. Anyway, going
sure. Okay.
Crazy.
So then so Harry comes in, delivers the divorce papers, and then sees the apartment. Then why do they go from the original apartment to the sex apartment?
Because she wants to downgrade. And then he's like, oh, my friend has like a bachelor pad that he wants.
So he's pitching to her, hey, do you want to live in this fuck pad?
Yeah.
That's so inappropriate for your lawyer to do. That is so crazy.
And to be like, let me turn these. I mean, if it were anyone else, he gets a pass. But if it were he'd be like, I'm trapped.
He did it in a smart way. And I'm not saying that this is how you should groom someone. I'm not saying that there's a right way and a wrong way to groom someone. I'm not saying that, but there is. So he did it in a way that was like, how bad is this place, huh? Oh, look at this. Ha ha. Oh, look at that. Isn't that disgusting? Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. And then she was playing with it. She was like, oh, yeah. And then if he was like, and then look, it does get it. He's a lawyer. He's a lawyer. He's a divorce lawyer. It gets inappropriate.
He blocks all the sunlight and then puts on like porn music and he's like, Charlotte.
It honestly felt like a scene out of like Family Guy, like a Quagmire. Yeah.
It did. But he was aware of it. He was like,
the crux of the show though is that if you like someone,
trap him.
The craziest thing they do is still hot. Like that's the crux of the show.
Yeah.
Because like if for example, even with Big and Carrie, right, they like each other. So but if you found out that your ex took a 3-day train ride to come see you, you'd be like, oh, this person's fucking mental. Like, this is awful, you know? But, you know, because they like it. Sorry, this is
I was just remembering all the crazy things I've done to fuck someone. And I was like, if they knew about that, that is mental. Psycho.
Sorry, we weren't glazing over. We were just going through the catalogue.
Yeah, literally. Absolutely.
I went to a witch shop and literally asked for a spell to be like, how do I like hexes?
I know. I used to just like leave it. Which shop?
We used to be one in Marimbina and there's like wizard, literally like the wizard would always hit on me and it was like really not like wizard. I need a spell to like get this guy to like me and he had like long hair and he was always like, you're beautiful. Anyway.
Hang on. This is the man who works in the witch shop?
Yeah.
So the wizard, you had a crush on the person staffing the witch shop.
No. I just wanted to get in and out to like get a spell to then like do it on, like if my crush at school knew that I was doing that, that would be psycho. But I was
like, child?
No, it was today.
Hang on, wait.
You would do that today, Irby. Come on.
I would definitely do that today.
There was a fully grown wizard who allowed a child to come into their store and he hexed another child.
Yes.
To hook up with you.
He was crazy. Yeah. Yeah. Just like long. He looked like Dumbledore, but he got it.
He gets it. Yeah. You know what I mean? You do have to go to these extremes.
You need some allies.
The extremes I've gone to masturbate effectively. Like I remember once being in Ballarat, having to go because I didn't have a vibrator or anything because I was too poor and I was at uni. And the only way I can get off is that.
I forget the male privilege, just being able to jerk off.
I know. I mean, I should be able to do it, but my clit's too small and I need a lot of pressure and vibration.
Too small.
Anyway, and then having to like go into a laundry sink.
Yeah.
To like try and get, hoik myself up there to try and get some water pressure while none of my housemates were home. So I would do anything.
Yeah, the water pressure.
What?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, you go under a tap.
I don't want to pry, but mechanically, how does that?
So you're clear.
Why does it have to be a laundry sink?
Oh no, we can have a bath, and so the shower head didn't go down, so it was the only sink that I could fit my ass in.
Anna really loves laundry.
Smelling that radiant. Oh, really? Fucking, yeah. Get off.
I've never heard of that before. Is this quite a common?
Yeah.
No, I mean like.
The wrong crowd. I'm just like, to me, I'm like, yeah, that's a smart decision.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. We're all jerked off in a sink. Yeah, what are you, some sort of virgin freak?
You got a MacGyver. But I love at the start of this episode when Carrie's like, she's like, she's acting so smarmy. She's like, I'm going to go get laid. And it's like, it's with your ex. Like, stop thinking it's so cool and you're like, so like naughty and stuff.
Yeah. And she's so horny, she's breaking out.
You know, when like,
ovulating.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I went to my guy the other day. Sorry, Zana, and she was like, how are you noticing being back on the pill? And I was like, ovulation is way less painful. And she was like, you're not ovulating. You're on the pill.
Oh,
and so I know, happens? Right? And she was laughing, and I was like, I'm so silly.
No
and she
one
was
knows
like,
how it works.
And she was like,
no one knows how it
she
works.
Was like, and then she started riffing on like all the dumb shit that people have said in her office. And
I've said
like,
every single one of those things.
Oh my God.
It was so funny. Though.
What have people said?
Oh, just one. I felt she was like, I had this woman come in, and she was like, I'm desperate to get pregnant. And she was like, okay, great. How regularly are you having sex? And she's like, once a month. And she was like, that's, you need to have sex more regularly. She's like, no, but we do it on the day.
What day?
On the day. Because people think there's this like one day where you're like peak ovulation. And like my gynae was like, that is like still based on witchcraft. Like nobody understands anything about the body. But anyway, it was just like very funny me being like, oh my God, of course. Sorry, totally. Scatterbrains. I know that I don't ovulate when I take the pill because otherwise what's the point when you really think about it?
So do you not ovulate if you're on the pill because your body thinks you're pregnant?
Yes. And my doctor was Dr. Claire. We would go to the same doctor. Shout out to Dr. Claire.
Does she listen to this podcast?
She would.
Probably, yeah.
I told her to. She's always like, oh, good. Yeah. She's like, oh, good, that comedy's going well. That's good.
And you're like, it's not. We haven't posted our podcast in 6 months.
She loves giving Valium.
I always
want to
get her to give me Valium.
So
your
gyno? I feel like we should be outing. No, yeah.
Well, you don't know who she is. There's plenty of Dr. Claire.
Sure.
Your gyno is giving out Valium?
No, this isn't my GP.
Oh, sorry.
But she was like, she was telling me that, yeah, you don't ovulate on the pill. And then she was also like, because you know how you can choose not to have your period. And I always just have my period because I was like, I feel weird without it. And then she's like, that's just like, she's tried to explain it. Like, it's pretty much like expecting a 7-year-old to have a period. It still made it even more confusing than before. And I was like, yeah.
That's I'm doing thing. That now. I'm supposed to only have like 2 periods a year. Anyway, this is getting into
it makes sense, especially with because if you suffer from like endo or something like that, because then all the cells, every time you get a period, all the cells shoot out the top of your uterus as well as down. And then those cells, instead of dying, stay alive and then attach to organs and stuff. So you should just not have your period.
Absolutely. I feel like every time I'm around Michael Hing, I...
Straight to period.
We're like, where's the clit?
I can offer some balance if you like. I've got a funny anecdote. Unless you want to get back to Sex in the City.
No. Okay. That's the last thing we want to do.
A complete overshare, but I think it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
So like, Hum and I, my partner, fiance Hum and I have been talking about the possibility of one day getting pregnant. Right? And so when you start doing that, you got to take these... like vitamins to like
elevate,
get your shit together.
Yeah.
And so I went to the shop to buy them for her. And not that we're like, you know, this is like months or, you know, we're just talking about whatever.
Yeah.
And when they're on the shelf, they're the ladies' ones, and the next to them, they're the men's ones. Mm. Right. And I was like, oh, God, I'm going to try and be a supportive partner. I'm going to
do it.
Buy these men's ones. I've never heard, I didn't know men took it as well, but you're like, you know, if she's doing it, I should do it as well.
Yeah.
And you look at it and it says like sperm health on. I was like, is my sperm not healthy? I don't know. Is it janky? I don't fucking know. I guess so. Yeah. So I went home and took them and the effect that it had on like.
Your libido?
No.
On your load.
The ship. It was quite confusing.
Oh my God. I've never heard.
A big load can be really scary. Yes. I totally understand.
I was like, goodness.
I love that you've come and then you're like, oh, goodness. Oh, goodness.
It was, and then I was like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So,
it's crazy.
Crystal Walker.
Yeah.
Come in. Oh, God.
I lost it.
No, yeah. So I did a bit of research on it and then I read. That apparently it's all bullshit and it's a marketing thing for this particular brand. I won't say, but this particular brand, they've done this thing where they just like have something in there that makes it like
goopy,
ropier or whatever.
Oh my God.
They whip it.
They whip it up or whatever, right? And it's a marketing ploy because they know like dudes are going to be like, hell yeah, sperm health. Bro, you've got to get on these sperm health pills.
Oh my God.
But it's like it's just like a regular multivitamin and they add like gunk into it or whatever.
Oh my God, the same sperm count, but you just have more goop.
I haven't, I think it's just like,
or maybe you just had a big load that time. Sorry, but now I'm getting a bit personal.
But it does like, because like it is a, like, because sperm count doesn't matter how much you're coming. Like it's like sperm count is like a separate thing, right?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know anything.
That would make you feel really used. Like, what are they even doing to your body?
Yeah, let's see them.
So
see
it's just like making you have heaps of
but also like, part of me is like, that's so funny because how many guys are like, don't worry, I got no troubles.
Totally. I think like it's a marketing thing for dudes because they're just like, yeah, man, I must be fertile. Yeah. Look at this cum.
Yeah, totally.
Oh my God.
Sorry, you can cut that
out. No, we're definitely gonna keep that in. That's the highlight.
Isolated, out of context. Michael Hing came into our podcast studio and then out of nowhere, he just demanded we listen to his story about cum.
He said, call your girlfriend a whore. And
It is like psycho what Carrie is doing, but also very funny.
Oh, so relatable. I would have totally done that. I think also. If you're at like 30, yeah. How old is she? 37, but she's fucked everyone in New York and she wants to fuck someone specifically. I would totally drive a three-way. I would totally do it right away. What are we saying? What are we doing?
What is the furthest you've ever gone to fuck someone? Like as in length? Travel. Have you flown interstate? Have you like gone on a road trip? Have you been on a 3-day train ride?
I snuck out of my house like when I was growing up. My parents were like, their bedroom's like right next to the front door, and I used to sneak out, catch a cab, like call 13 cabs, go all the way to the city. It's like $120 or something from Glen Waverley to the city. Mm. And it's like all my money gone, like from working at Faster Pasta, like root my boyfriend and then be back by 4 a.m. so that my parents just thought I'd be like at home the whole time.
That's fucking sick.
And then you just at school like a zombie.
You're like Effie. You're Effie from Skin.
I am. And then go to my school. Food one.
Jesus. I can't think of anything like specific, but I feel like it's because like most of the craziest stuff that I've done hasn't resulted in a route. Like, do you know what I mean?
You travel across country, they're like, no thanks.
Yeah. Or like you show up at places, or like you, I don't know, or like even just like the effort that you put into like looking
social
nice
media
to go somewhere. Yeah. Or like tagging yourself places and doing all that. Very like early 20s vibes.
What's the tagging yourself places situation?
Well, like if you're like on Instagram and you're like out somewhere, yeah, like, you'd be like, I'm here.
The bar or yeah, and yeah. Your crush would see that and yeah. Then come. Did that
or you stalk their Instagram to see where they're at.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, maybe I will go to this party tonight or whatever, just so you can maybe fuck
I used to work at Faster Pasta, there was like a chef who was like 2 years younger than me. He was like 14 or something. It's like illegal. But he was like really hot. And then I used to like try and get his attention all the time. And I was like 16, just be like, come on. He had no interest. And then one time his family came and then his like little brother drew a stick figure drawing. It was like him and then it had me as like a little stick figure in front of the counter. And then I took it home, like they left it on the table. I took it home and it was like on my wall for like 20 years.
Being a teenage girl like is so psycho. Fucked. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, no, totally.
It's like collect locks of hair. Like
yeah, you do.
So you had the artwork of you, but were the two of you being romantic in the picture?
No. It was just like
you were just standing there.
I was just like,
hell yeah.
So funny.
Desperate times.
It's beautiful. But I think what's like refreshing about the Carrie thing is that usually Carrie is doing all this stuff but pretending she isn't. Like she's usually like, I'm just doing a 3-day thing, and maybe I'll reach out to Big. But with this, I enjoyed being her. Like I'm going there to fuck him, and I have a gigantic zit on my face.
And I love Samantha being supportive of that. Yeah, like, that's a good friend there, kind of getting into that train ride. And I love the whole "Some Like It Hot" reference.
Yes.
And their actual experience on the train, which is just so like this episode kind of made me a bit sad because it made me scared of like aging kind of a little bit because
they look really crazy.
Yes. Because any
come a day where you would not be able to travel across the country in a cocktail dress.
I can't do
and
it.
And ask married men to fuck you.
I know.
I was going to say because it reminded me of the V-Line. I was like, me too.
Oh, yeah. Well, it did kind of remind, it had the same kind of glamour, I guess. But I was like, I think this is the first time in Sex and City where I've been like, this does feel a bit sad. Like and they've done so many fucked things.
But I think, but at least like it was supposed to be. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like at least like it was sad, but it was because they are
supposed
to
be. Yeah.
They're in there like worse. Whereas like it would be worse if if they felt good or something and it was sad. Do you know what I mean?
No.
Like,
I mean, it's good. I'm glad it happened, but it made me sad even though it's supposed to feel sad.
Totally.
I didn't understand the justification for why she had to catch the train. She said, I don't fly, right?
She has, she's scared of flying.
But she is that previously established in the show?
No.
I don't know.
She said it to them. She's known for 15, 20 years or whatever, like it was a thing that no one knew. But I'm like, if you've been friends with people, surely they would know that you don't fly. Like, you live in New York. Surely you'd have to. You're a traveling writer. You're a.
There's some holes in the story writing. She's definitely been on a plane before. And
has she?
Yeah, she went to LA.
She's always jetting around.
I was going to say, because on that bus with the old maid to Atlantic City, they drove to, in LA, they were driving, but they took a private jet. But I think it was mentioned there that Carrie didn't like flying, but I think
how she
took pills.
How'd she get to Dubai?
Oh, I haven't seen the second movie. I can't wait.
One of those boats, like the like Jet Lionheart. What's this? That kid?
Yeah.
If I could remember the kid's name, that'd be so much fun.
I love some of the lines on the train, like when Samantha's like, "Honey, you're starting to look like you belong on a train." That made me laugh out loud.
But also just because, like, Samantha is peak Samantha in this episode as well. Just like in all her like little quips and her like
she wants to
looking around.
Too.
Yeah.
When in that bit in the meal cart where they're sitting next to the Amish couple. The Amish shouldn't be on the train, should they?
No.
Is that allowed?
Sometimes they get a pass.
Right, okay. But maybe they're a Rumspringer.
Yeah.
But then, like, I guess I hadn't watched a fun comedy show like this in a long time, so I forgot that, like...
That's really sad. Why not? What are you watching?
I don't know.
Chernobyl. It's the festival.
Avery watching Chernobyl over and over again? Because I do.
I love watching that.
I love fucking Chernobyl.
That's
really good.
I mostly watch cartoons, I'm going to be
honest. Oh, no, fair enough. Yeah, that's good too.
But in this, they're... So Samantha and Carrie are having the conversation, the Amish couple are next to them. Samantha and Carrie are loudly complaining about these people next to them.
I know.
And it's rude. I don't know if but I'm like, if you were the Amish people, why wouldn't you say something? Like just then I was like, oh, they're non-speaking extras. That's why.
Yeah.
They can't talk.
Yeah.
They don't want to pay them that union wage.
That comes up so much in Sex and the City. I always notice that. There's always like some woman who's like like miming essentially because they don't want to pay them per speaking wage, which is insane.
It's like one of the biggest TV shows of the last 20 years. Surely they could have afforded to pay.
Exactly.
There was one moment with Samantha where I was like, could they not afford one extra line? Where it was like the most exaggerated look when they go see like the married men up the back and like Samantha just like shares this look with Carrie that is truly 10 minutes long. And it's like, and it's a classic like Samantha side eye. I also want to say, because I wrote it down all caps and I forgot how much I was like watching this at like 1 a.m. in the morning last night, hysterically laughing at Carrie's outfit that she wore onto the train. She looked like a fucking flapper from the 20s.
She did.
And I was like, what are you doing? No one's gonna fuck you.
I was laughing at her blush when she tried to do like her
so
blush.
Funny.
She looks like I remember the time being like, maybe that's a look. Like when I watched it last time, I watched it or whatever. And then last night I was like, no, she looks fucking crazy.
And she says
that's
it
so
as
embarrassing.
Well. She's like, I look like I'm in a high school musical.
Yeah, she does. It was a good self burn. That's very funny.
I feel like this whole episode is full of like nice burns on herself, which is really funny.
Yes.
And when they finally arrive and they're like staying in their hotel and it's all nice. This bit, I was watching it last night as well. But you know, when she comes in and she's like, I need to fuck big, everyone like evacuate and like go to your own. And me and Jordan, when we go to Sydney, we're sharing a bed because everything is so expensive.
Oh,
so it's just like a good comparison.
Do you guys want to crash on the couch?
No.
Okay.
Sorry, cool. I shouldn't have mentioned that, but it's true.
We should start a Patreon just so you guys don't have to sleep in the same bed.
I'm not going to shave my legs. Irvy feels like there's a man.
It's like I want to root someone and I'm like, Jordan, leave.
I'll just sleep on the couch in the same room.
Pat and I used to sleep in the same bed all the time when we shared accommodation.
Yeah.
But he would never bring anyone home. He would just go out to a beat and fuck someone. But it was very sweet.
Irvy,
like
you should go to a beat.
Go to a beat. I know, but that's male privilege there because we can't just go to beats, can we? Because
we'll get
beaten up.
Yeah. That's it.
It's a real shame. Real quiet, Hing.
Yeah.
Speak up.
Not a lot of jokes I could do on that one, I reckon.
You should be like, and you deserve it or something. And we'd be like,
I don't want to say that. Yeah. No, I don't want to say that at all.
Oh, my God.
I have another anecdote about my cum. Here we go. When they get to the book reading and she's opening for the dog,
oh my God,
I thought that was genuinely funny.
Yeah,
I was like,
it's very funny.
Real funny. No one wants to open for a dog. Absolutely. Really funny stuff.
I was reminded also of how bad her book cover is as well.
Oh, yeah.
Bad. And then it's
so
funny.
As the show though?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, right. Okay.
and then the way that like when she does catch up with Big later and he's like, I think you're so sexy on the front cover. I was like, no, you fuck. Like you're both disgusting. You deserve each other.
Mm.
And very funny how it was like cute seeing them.
The dog?
The dog was really cute. Well, I didn't know it was a puppet until KGF told me.
Wait, no, is it a puppet?
No, I don't think it's a puppet.
No, it's a dog.
It's a real dog.
It was saying very...
Puppet, don't believe KGF, this is...
It was being very still, though. I was like, is it dead?
No, it was just a dog.
The tongue was out.
It was a dog. Why do you think it was a puppet?
Because KGF, this is a dog puppet.
No shit. Look at his grammar.
But maybe KGF thinks all dogs are puppets.
I don't know what world KGF is lives in.
Certainly not one that we live in.
Being pro dog is so like comedy as well. It's just that you think you're doing so well. You're like, yeah, I've got my book tour. It's like, no, you're opening for a literal dog.
It was a bit hammy when Carrie was kind of like, tough crowd, huh?
Talking to the dog.
It was just a bit like, okay, why are we doing this moment? It was cute, but I was like, that's a bit hammy.
And that fat guy's like, when's the dog going to
be love done? The fat guy. I love the fat guy. Being
yeah,
like,
he ruled. He ruled.
I love Carrie being humiliated almost as much as I love Miranda being humiliated.
It's so funny.
This is a very Miranda light episode. There was no Miranda at all.
What did Miranda do in this?
I was just breastfeeding, probably.
Did she fart?
No, sorry, next. This is what happens when we watch too many episodes in a row.
Oh, it's all blended. No, yeah. Miranda basically is in the meal scene at the top where they're talking about going on, and then she's not in the rest of the episode.
And they all look bad again, like their outfits are bad.
Yeah. And Carrie's on the phone to her, she's like, I gotta go party. It's like,
fucking
hell. I feel like we turn into our mothers when we do this podcast because we just go back to this like early 2000s mindset of being like, oh. And she has put on weight, hasn't she?
And I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying but with her face shape.
Some of the stuff I love, but some of the clothes I'm like, that's crazy. And it's like because they're at a point now where the show's so big that they're getting paid to wear the outfits that they're wearing. And so like they're at a brunch or they're like catching the train and you're like, Who made you wear this hat? Like, you know what I mean?
What did you guys think of the sort of like, I don't know, emotional bit at the end where Big and Carrie are he's talking to her like she clearly just wants to fuck he's like going through like, oh, what about page 39? Like I guess I don't know a lot about his character throughout the rest of the season, but I was like, this feels like such a shift. I felt like it didn't feel genuine.
It
felt like a, like obviously that they didn't write like this, but I was like, if a friend told me a guy did that to them, I'd be like, well, he's
playing you.
Yeah, he's fucking playing you. Mm. You're getting finessed.
I thought the same thing afterwards because during it, I was like, this is very funny because Carrie wants to, just a situational comedy being like, you really want to fuck.
He was like a prop. He didn't mean any of it.
But the situation itself was funny. Like Carrie really wants to fuck and then there's this guy who keeps fucking her over and he can't fuck because he's so invested emotionally. Very funny. But then as soon as he did fuck, I was like, fuck yeah, was that all a game?
It's all a finesse.
It's all a game. He's like, who cares, baby? And it's like,
he's like, hey. He's so gross when he wants to fuck as well.
They're foul together.
Also, he's like, let's fuck, kid.
Yeah.
Stop playing.
Yeah, I want to fuck kid.
Like, partner kid is like,
yeah. And she's like, oh, she can't. Old school New York.
She every time Carrie is around Big, she becomes a pantomime. She can't be, I don't think they've ever had a conversation.
She looks like a sparrow.
Like an ortolan about to be eaten.
Yeah, like her head, the way she's like,
she's so scrawny.
And she's like, doesn't talk proper.
No, she doesn't.
She doesn't talk proper.
No, she doesn't.
And she's always like, oh, hey, mister. Like, I don't think she's actually, I don't think she does know his actual name.
I don't know
name.
If she's ever relaxed.
No,
she's never relaxed. And I also thought it was inconsistent at the end of the episode where because she's like doing her next book site or whatever. And she's already written pages about like the pimple and like, it's like this pimple analogy and stuff.
Oh my God. And it's like, Carrie, let the pimple go.
Yeah.
But also,
that's unrealistic. You're not going to like print a book like overnight with like your new metaphor from like.
Wait, was that? No, that wasn't her book too. That was just her reading a. Oh,
that wasn't about a pimple. That was about a freckle.
Oh.
Guys, come on. If you're not going to engage with it, you're not going to get as much out of it as those in the class who do put the effort in.
Okay, so she was talking about a freckle.
She didn't write a book overnight.
Like, I think it was unbelievable that she wrote and published a book overnight. That's crazy. Yeah, that would be crazy. I mean,
I was like,
I had to get that other chapter in.
Have you seen this show 600 times? It was probably like her most like long-winded metaphor though.
Oh,
like,
of all of them. Shut up.
Probably one of her worst. Because life is like a pimple and you pop it and it's like, oh, whatever, fuck it. I think I zoned
like,
out.
No, it was like the freckle on my top lip.
Is this when
was
there.
Like,
was she sipping a martini or was that the episode before at the end?
I think it was the episode before.
Oh, damn it, because that was very funny of her just she like having a full-blown monologue in her head and like shaking it around and being like,
just crazy.
It reminded me of that. There's a clip going around on TikTok that makes me laugh so much, and it's Carrie being like, "You just don't get it." Like her head, just like she shakes her head and nods and shakes it again.
Pat and I once saw a woman on a boat having a hole in a monologue, staring out. I think it was in Sydney, and she was like staring out the water. But it was like, you know when like you pretend you're in a music video, like on a train, but you're quiet, you're quietly crying to yourself or something.
What?
But it's like, oh, shut up. You know when you do that? I saw it. When you're on the Uber here, when you're naked, like looking out the window, and you're like, and I couldn't help but wonder. But she was having a full moment like that, and I feel like Carrie must be that bitch.
Absolutely,
and I talk about that all the time.
And she also thinks everybody's
looking
at
her. Yes.
Well, in this instance, there are like everyone is looking.
Because of the blush
and the dress. Oh my goodness!
My God. Awful. They all look horrible.
Awful. Very funny moment when Samantha comes into the carriage, like looking a mess, and being like, "I've heard news of boys."
Also, I miss that. I feel like I miss that part of life when it was like teenage girl time. I mean, like obviously it was like horrendous, but there's like a camaraderie about it. It was like such a mission, and it wasn't even really about the crush. It was just like my idea of him, and I'm gonna like lock him down. It was,
Well, I feel like we had that when we were in Chicago really briefly, and we're at that hostel, but it was really just like a hotel.
God, I thought you were talking about the musical.
No, but we were in Chicago in high school. But remember, like, I feel like we were like, let's make friends. But then it was just filled with families. I didn't really feel like we were on a mission to like go out. And
we did. And we was no like on the 4th of July and we were sitting on the beach.
No,
and we
married men would fuck you.
No, married men would fuck us.
And we were like really drunk. And I was like, I'm going to ask these people to take a photo of us. And then we'll talk to these girls. And then that'll start it. And then they took the photo and they're like, thank you. And we're like, thanks. And then they walked away and we're like, I can't do it.
We're gonna make friends.
We wanted to go to
an American 4th of July party.
To like a house party or something.
No
like
one
that.
Wanted us.
Yeah. I was very rude. But yeah, I love Samantha is such a good sport. Even when like it's obviously a shit situation, but she's still funny and on board and having she doesn't blame Carrie.
She gets out of the bath and like evacuates so that Carrie can just like.
I also love that when Carrie's like, Samantha, and Samantha's like, I'm having a bath.
And such a funny bath.
Like, I know.
It was like little, right?
Yes, yeah. Oh, she's like, a tall
woman.
Were
her legs hanging out? Like,
she was doing what I was doing in that laundry scene.
Oh, God. It was so funny. But yeah, good for her getting out of there. But you would, though, especially if that was the sole purpose, like you would leave.
Totally.
Like it feels like Jordan's really setting up for your Sydney trip.
I know.
I was like, get out. I'm going to fuck someone.
Honestly, all I need is my headphones, my phone, and
Jordan's
data.
Just like in the bed, just being like, doo-doo-doo-doo.
While you're getting curled up like a dog.
All you need is a blindfold headphone. Like you're going to fuck Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh my God, Irby, it would be so funny if you fucked Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh my God, okay. Would be no way. I'd be like fucking old mate for him, but
old mate. Old mate.
I was like, I wouldn't want to anyway, but then I'm like, I guess if the offer came up.
You wouldn't say no.
I guess you got to for the story.
You have to.
I imagine the NDA he makes you sign would come with some cash as well.
Yeah.
Oh, you know? Do you get money?
I assume you would.
Yeah.
Otherwise, why would you sign the NDA?
Yeah.
You
could, yes.
That's true.
Or pretend you didn't say yes and get heaps of money.
Yeah. That would be really good.
Wait,
my career.
Huh? We're kidding. We'd never do that to you, Leo.
Sometimes every now and then in this podcast, we just say the most fucked shit. And I'm
worried. We opened the last episode with rape.
It's it's crazy that I agreed to be on this.
I know. No, we really appreciate it.
No, we love it.
There's like so many episodes during lockdown where we're like, I wasn't even in my body. I was like, somewhere else. And then 3 hours later, we're like, stop record. And it's just like, so, and it's just like out in the world.
I told so many people's secrets.
And I know.
Like, I shouldn't have told. And then literally later on, I had to be like,
you're kind of like Carrie writing about Big in her book.
I know. Let's bring it back to the podcast for a second. Hang on.
Truly. But also, what was so funny about that Big thing, and I think this is like a typical of like a lot of hetero men, is that they're like weirdly over emotional and like caring when you don't want them to be like in certain, where you're like, oh, that's like why you bring the, and also it was still about him being a king. Totally. It was still him being like,
it's hard to know what you want. Okay.
That's another sound bite.
These women.
What women want?
What are they asking for things? Oh, God. Well, you want me to listen and then find out what you want and then do that? Oh, God. No, it's better for me to make a decision beforehand. And come here with the energy that I want. Come on.
Oh, Hing, go take a giant cum and relax.
I'm sorry for
you. But, like, do you know what I mean? Like, just being like, oh, God, I didn't realize I had hurt you so much. Like, I'm still like,
of course.
The hurt her, not the hurt tea. Yeah. And then like, and being like, so like careful and kind when he's been such a cunt.
Cunt,
to carry
I know. When you have to,
and in the morning, just like forgetting it all and just be like, oh, well, who cares?
time to fuck.
Totally, literally. Yeah.
That's so funny. That's that post nut clarity.
That'd be pre nut clarity.
Yeah.
He hasn't come yet.
Unless he jumped up in the sink earlier.
he did. Like,
what do you think Samantha's bathing in?
Oh, yeah.
Shall we rate this episode?
Yes, we rate. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
What's the rating scale?
Out of 10.
Okay.
And just why, I guess.
And it's within the pantheon of all
the episodes
art,
that we've seen.
Of all art.
I don't know what you're basing it on.
If you haven't seen all of it, just whatever you think. You make your own rating system. Rating system. I rate it 8. Out of 10. I actually really enjoyed this episode. It was really funny.
I'm going to go for a 9. I was laughing out loud. I couldn't get over some of it. And just like Samantha was just peak.
Even her hair. Yeah. So funny.
So good.
That's crazy. I'm giving this a 6.
Wow.
Because it involves the tempting of married men. And I think that's sinful and bad.
Yeah.
And,
good.
You know, and even though they, you know, were able to sort of resist the advances of Samantha and Carrie. I just feel like this is not the kind of media we should be putting out in the world. For the great messaging.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that's absolutely. Very true. Yeah. We need more censorship of women tempting married men.
Absolutely.
The harlots out there.
So many.
Do you think you would keep watching? Has this like made you think you want to watch Sex and the City?
Does Hum watch it?
No, I don't think. I think Hum hates it. I think. Really? Or I don't know. She might have watched it as like when she was in high school or something. But I don't think she was a fan, really, as an adult. I don't know. I kind of find that there is a, no, I won't.
Fair.
There's a certain kind of like commentator and writer in Australian media now who has the exact cadence of Sex and the City.
Who?
And so.
Wait, tell us something.
Yeah. And so like when I watch it now, I'm just reminded of the people who do like, you know, who'd use that kind of, like, that's their kind of comedy. It's like how there is like, kind of guys who still do, like, Joss Whedon jokes and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, ugh, you know, it just feels very...
Are you bringing this up because I'm wearing a T-shirt that has Faith from Buffy on it?
No, that was unintentional.
No, sorry, go ahead.
I don't imagine I'll keep watching. But obviously, if, you know, if... To get back on the pod, you know?
Of course.
We'll get you back for the second film.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you're going to have to catch a, like, 3-hour Uber.
just circle the block. They haven't left Dubai yet.
Heavy.
I already said mine, I think.
Yours was 8. No, but explain why.
Okay, so I loved it. I feel like it's just like really nice to see Carrie just like getting fucked over and like, and also like owning it. And it just makes her way less annoying, I feel, when like shit things happen to her because it's like funny watching her deal with them.
Because she does so much shit stuff, so you want to see her get fucking pounded back. Yeah.
And this is the penultimate episode. There's like next. Doesn't that mean second last?
Yep.
Does it?
Yes.
You've never used that word in front of me before.
Penultimate.
Oh, wow. But it means that next episode is the season finale, which feels crazy because I just am like, what could possibly happen? Because nothing, like I've really enjoyed this season, but there's no, nothing is happening. Like in terms of like, cause there was no big like plot through this apart from like, she's going back to fuck Big.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing tying Samantha, like all of them.
I think the fact that she fucked Big at all in season five is, that's quite big, isn't
probably,
it?
Probably,
quite a big plot point. So I imagine they're setting that up for the in the next episode.
Yeah, that's true.
He'll hang himself or something.
Oh, if only.
Yeah, Big sucks. Okay, great. Thank you so much for coming on the pod.
Thanks for having me.
And stop. Thank you.